It is Locked On Jazz for the 26th of June. Free agency's looming. We'll dig into the marketplace. We'll look at what Dante and Derek's negotiations should go like. Plus, Kevin Pelton released his 30 best free agents, and we'll look at some of them. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky little numbers, and a look behind the curtains of the NBA, the Utah Jazz. And today, free agency. All right, free agency's coming. July 1, which is Friday, is when it kind of will all begin to hit. I wasn't planning on doing a show, but might have to. Or get to, but I will be in San Diego with my daughter. She's playing in a tournament. Actually, Sunday is the first. So actually, Monday I'll put out a show. She's playing in a tournament on the 2nd and 3rd. I'll be back here for Summer League. Summer League's going to be epic. Monday, Tuesday, and then Thursday for Summer League. So should be a great week. Here's what I want to do today. I want to begin to dive us into free agency. Over the next few days, we'll do a bunch of things. I want to give a shout out to some good friends of mine. If you're really, really into this, which you probably are if you're listening to the show, Nate Duncan, Danny LaRue, Kevin Pelton, Dan Feldman on the Dunked On Basketball podcast do a free agency primer, and they do a mock off season. That actually, I'm doing a free agency primer. They do a mock off season, and it is awesome. So if you get a chance, go ahead and take a listen. I will build the free agency manifesto, and the value of the free agency manifesto, if you remember over the years, is I tier all the players. And when I tier the players, what you can do pretty quickly is see where a player is where the marketplace is going. So over the last 2 years, we've seen this crazy change. So, you know, tier one's $30 million, it always seems to be, of point guards. George Hill, Drew Holiday, Jeff Teague were tier two last year, and the value in 2015 was $16 million. They held. Tier three was a value of about $5 million a year in 2015. 2016 was at $11 million a year, and then dropped back down to $8 million a year. And then tier four, which in 2015 was $5 million, and 2016 was $8 million a year, went to $2 million a year. That's just for point guard. So what we've seen a little bit here in the marketplace is the top level talent is still getting their money, and then the world falls off. If you look at tier two shooting guards, 2015, they were about $18 million. 2016, in the big year, they were $23 million. And then last year, they ranged anywhere from J.J. Redick's 23, which was inflated because it was a one-year deal, to Kentavious Caldwell-Pope getting and a limited Tim Hardaway getting a real deal, and then other guys getting 11. If you look at the small forwards, it went tier two went from $15 million a year to $22 million a year, down to $13 million a year last year, which Joe Ingles. So if that's kind of where the marketplace has gone. That's the first thing to understand is that. So the top tier guys are getting their money. The second tier guys are still dipping back last year to 2015, and then the tier three and tier four guys are just in a world of hurt. This year, I think we'll see a similar model, because when we start to get down to it, and then we're going to specifically look at this with favors, and then we'll talk about Dante, and then we'll look at Pelton's 30 top free agents, and then if we have time, we'll dig deep into a few specific guys. If you look at the marketplace that we have, here are the teams that, as of right now, in order, have a lot of cap space. So the Lakers have $57 million. If someone takes Luol Deng, they have $70. And I'll tell you what, if they have enough on the table, we'll take Luol Deng and Brandon Ingram together to clear it so they can get it done. We facilitated the Golden State Warriors championship with the Andres Piedrins deal. I think you probably have to be willing to do it again. It's a little tricky that you're willing to facilitate at that point we weren't very good. This point we are. So LA has the most money. Indiana now has $33 million with Thaddeus Young opting out. That one's interesting for Faves. Like, if they believe that he's a power forward, not a center, that one gets interesting. But I don't know if anyone believes that. Philadelphia has $26 million. Chicago has $25 million. Atlanta's got $22 million. Dallas has got $22 million. So those are the six teams that have over $20 million. Sacramento is at 18. Utah is at 18. Orlando is at 16 if they lose Aaron Gordon. And Phoenix is at 14. And that's about it. And we're at 18 if we want to get there. And maybe a little more if we trade Alec. Okay. So there's the market. You think, guys, so we're going to be talking a lot about mid-level exceptions, cap room exceptions, all these other little exceptions, which is what teams do if they're over the cap. In the meantime, Golden State probably doesn't care. Cleveland may care. Denver needs to get out from under the tax. The Thunder would like to get out from under the tax. Miami would like to get out from under the tax. Toronto would like to clear out of the tax so that they can sign Van Vliet. Portland is out. He'd like to get, well, you never know with Portland, but, and Washington like to get under the tax. So you have Golden State and Cleveland are limited by the tax, and I'm assuming if LeBron goes, they'd like to get under it. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then Portland's a wild card. 6 teams that need to get out from under the luxury tax. So if you go back to where we just were a moment ago, you have 6 teams that have $20 or more million of cap space, and you have 6 teams that need to get out from under the tax. Then you have a bunch of teams that are really close to the tax to the point in which I think they're going to have to lose players and or they're going to be neutered a bit with any. So Detroit's within $4 million of the tax. Milwaukee's within $8 million of the tax. Minnesota's within $9 million, I expect. They may just let Bielitsa go. And Charlotte's within $8 million. Memphis is within $12 million, which probably limits them a little bit. And maybe that's probably it. That Pelicans are within 22. They got to re-sign DeMarcus Cousins. Okay, so there's another 6 teams that just probably aren't playing a lot on the market. Denver's made their big deal with Jokic, and now they've got to figure out some ways out from under their money, as we talked about. Okay, well, that's suddenly, we're now at 18 teams. And then we got a bunch of other teams that are just hovering in that middle ground where what they have is mid-level exceptions. So, now, so that's where the market sits. So, we saw the big 2015 was one number. 2016 was a huge bump. 2017 was the drop back a little bit to 2015 and below. And we're going, I think, on anybody but tier one to a lower level. Because the other thing that's interesting here is of the team, the 6 teams that have more than 20 million, the Lakers are certainly trying to sign anyone they can. Indiana, I think, will be very aggressive. They have a good team. They have $33 million of cap space. I think they'll be very aggressive. Wouldn't be surprised if they don't try to go get Aaron Gordon or something like that. Chicago is at $25 million. I don't really think they want to win yet. Right? So Chicago's going to put Lauri Markkanen, Wendell Carter, Chris Dunn, probably try to re-sign Zach LaVine, see where that core takes them next year, and get another draft pick. Atlanta, very similar. Put their Kevin Huerter, Trae Young group that they've put together and let it go a little bit. Philadelphia's looking to add a piece, particularly LeBron or Paul George. And Dallas is at an interesting note where they're at $22 million. They've just gotten Luka Doncic. They have Dwight Smith Jr. They're beginning to rebuild. You know, do they go try to get DeMarcus? Do they and let him rehab a little while and then they take another, you know, draft pick? Some people thought they were going to take Michael Porter Jr. and then have him sit out the year for the back surgery. There's a lot of people in the league who believe he's got to have back surgery. And then have DeMarcus rehab and then just start it all over the next year. And then Sacramento's got $18 million. So not all those teams necessarily want to win. So there's the marketplace. What does it mean for Derek Favors? And also, let's walk through using the Nate Duncan, Dan Feldman mock offseason podcast dunked on for Dante Exum. And let's look at those two negotiations here in a second. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street. Super impressive, super, super impressive things going on at Murdoch Hyundai. One is the lineup of what Hyundai's built. So their latest addition is the Kona, which is the small SUV similar to the Subaru Crosstrek, which is just a terrific car. I drove it for a while, enjoy it. Zippy, 30 miles a gallon, small. If you're a big family, that's not your answer. But if you're a single person or just maybe a young adult, absolutely awesome, great price. The Ioniq Hybrid, which I don't think a lot of people know about. I don't see it out there. You see the Prius everywhere. If you're going to do a Prius, go make sure you go look at an Ioniq first. And then we bought the Santa Fe. We bought the three-row seat Santa Fe because when I did my research on the market after driving it, understanding what you get with Hyundai, all the bells and whistles, the reduced price, and the safety features, to me, I went and bought the Hyundai Santa Fe to, one, give us the car to drive people around, and two, to give my son at 16 the safest car he can get. 4646 South State Street, Murdoch Hyundai. You get the Murdoch No Regrets with car washes and safety inspection for life, as well as price match guarantee and a 5-day return policy. It's all at Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street. All right, so on the mock NBA podcast, which I've plugged a bunch, they'll do Derek Favors free agency at some point, and they do this fun thing, and they'll walk through it. And we can do it here. So if I'm Derek's agent, and I'm picking up the phone right now, and I'm saying, hey, Chicago, what do you think? I don't think Chicago's interested. Maybe I'm going to be wrong on this one, but Chicago has got their team built. They're still developing. They're in the process. They're lacking. They got Robin Lopez at center, and now they have Wendell Carter Jr., and they have Lauri Markkanen and Bobby Portis. And I don't think they're taken. All right, so we move to the next one. We call Atlanta, and we say to Atlanta, "What do you think?" And Atlanta's not at the time frame. Yeah, but we're from there. Hey, you know what? If your market drops enough, maybe we could talk to you. But again, I'm not sure Atlanta's really looking to necessarily win. Philadelphia has Joel Embiid, and they're looking to play with a stretch floor. So again, hey, if we get down low enough and you're just a bargain, you want to back up Embiid, okay, now Derek's not interested. So we get to Dallas. And Dallas has, depending what Dallas wants to do, Dallas makes some sense. They desperately need a center. They could play Derek as a defensive center, play with Harrison Barnes, Wesley Matthews, Luka Doncic, Dennis Smith. I called him Dwight Smith earlier. Dennis Smith Jr. There's a real chance with Dallas. But there's also DeAndre Jordan. There is also DeMarcus Cousins. So Dallas is a real chance. Calls Indiana. Indiana gets interesting because Indiana, with Miles Turner and Domantas Sabonis, might have interest in Derek Favors, and it would have to be that they see him playing with Miles Turner because Thaddeus Young is gone. It would also have to be that they believed he's a four. They have $33 million. I think they're looking for a young star. I think they're gonna go play the Aaron Gordon, maybe Jabari Parker game, and look. So now we pick up the phone. We call Sacramento. And the Kings like, well, you know what, though? We just added Marvin Bagley. We have Willie Cauley-Stein and Scalabossier. Yeah, I think we're going to let Marvin Bagley play. The Lakers strike out. Hey, you know what? I'll come and play center for you for a year on a one-year deal. instead of Brooke Lopez, and I think he's got a taker. Orlando, if they lose Aaron Gordon, in theory could give him something to try to Derek something to be the backup to help out Mo Bamba and Jonathan Isaac, but they still have Nikola Vukovic, so that doesn't make a lot of sense. And I think Phoenix would be the only other one, but with them just signing DeAndre Ayton and Igor playing the European ball movement, I don't think Derek necessarily wants to go be the backup there, and they still have Tyson Chandler on the roster. So the marketplace for Derek is really, really, really thin. Really thin. And so, I mean, I see if you're the Jazz now, all of a sudden, you have to make a decision on Derek of what you're willing to pay him. And I do think what this lines up to, the chances of Derek getting a multi-year good money deal in the market seems to be Dallas. And it's important to notice it only takes one. The Lakers, if Derek waits it out, get interesting. If you're the Jazz, there's a chance you can get Derek done, I think from the way I'm reading the landscape, on a one-year deal where, you know, maybe you pay him a little, not quite the J.J. Redick $22 million, but you're going to overpay him enough in that one-year deal because the rest of the free agency market doesn't work out for you. Now, you got to be certain of that, right? And you go hunt around to Aaron Gordon and Jabari Parker, and we'll look at each of those as the week goes on, or whatever other free agent when we look at Pelton's top 30 here in a minute that you want. It's interesting. I don't think I'm missing the boat here. You know, and I don't know what the number is for Utah, right? I think you have to try to figure out if you're going to look at salaries and things of that nature, you know, what is the, what, you know, what other things are happening? There's no reason for us to go over the luxury tax. The organization is completely willing to go over the luxury tax. That uniformly has been said to me a million times. If it's worth it. But I think you've got to prove that it's worth it. And I'm not sure Derek on a one-year deal is worth, and whatever other things we're doing, is worth suddenly getting us into the luxury tax and having luxury tax suddenly start to play out in that fashion. But I'd have to have, you know, the salary cap's $100 million. The luxury tax, I think, is $125 without it being official yet. And you start to play the Jazz have the ability to sign him up to a pretty strong deal. A luxury tax is 100. Yeah, I think 100 and 125 are the easy numbers to remember. By the way, they haven't officially set them, but I think that's. And the other one is, so Derek could get the mid-level exception. That's a non-taxpayer. That's $8.5 million. So if the Lakers were to re-sign Randall, stay over the cap, not get any of their free agents, and then want to sign Derek as a center, Derek could take a one-year $8 million. But he's also, Brook Lopez is still on that roster at that point. The taxpayer is $5 million if he wants to go to a winner. I do think it's going to come down to Derek, unless Dallas signs him up, and there's a reason to look at Derek in that roster and like him, that Derek's choices are going to be a one-year deal from Utah for significant money or going somewhere where he believes he would start and play. Now, that in itself is a good discussion. So he could decide he wants to go home to Atlanta, start and play. Atlanta has to decide that they actually want to get better and have him. Dallas is a place he could play probably on a one-year deal if they go do something else. Cleveland would be interesting of how they would deal with him and Tristan Thompson. The Clippers lose DeAndre Jordan. And he could probably go there and play. They'd have $8 million of space. Milwaukee, who has got major cap issues, $8 million under the luxury tax, he could go there and play. He's now in Milwaukee. Brooklyn is $7 million of cap space. I think he could go there and play, but they like Jared Allen. They want to play Jared Allen, but he could be probably play as their one of their primary guys. Now it gets small. I think he could go to New York if he wants to. He seems like the most un-New York guy in the world. And he'd be back with Enes Kanter, and he could probably play next to Kristaps Porzingis. But Kanter's there at $14 million, so I'm not sure. You know, he's going to opt in, so I'm 20 whatever million. And that's it. I think that's it. Charlotte would be another one. Charlotte, now having released Dwight Howard, has Cody Zeller and Marvin Williams. He could probably go there and play. And Charlotte is $8 million under the luxury tax. So I think the offers for Derek are a one-year player, one-year deal from the Jazz, maybe a little overpriced, or a one-year deal underpriced just to get the opportunity to go play. And it's going to be interesting. For Dante Exum, we'll touch on that. Don't worry, I haven't forgotten about what happened last night, and we'll get Pelton's 30 top free agents here in a second. Today's show brought to you in part by The Advocates. I hope the day doesn't come where you get in a car accident and you end up having to use The Advocates, but it must be nice assurance to know that what Matt has built over at Utah Advocates is there for you if you need it. 25 years in the business, he's built a 106-step process that makes you have the security blanket. You call a lawyer, you call Advocates at 801-355-5550, and a lawyer calls you back in 60 seconds. That is the attorney for your case. They schedule the case. They get you in the system. They mark down whatever your personal needs might be. And boom, it's off and running. The structure is in place for you to get the best results, make sure nothing bad happens, and to treat you well. And it's interesting when I was talking to Matt, I was saying, like, I would be a person who's like, okay, take it, go, get it done as fast as possible. I don't need to worry. I trust you. Other people need to know what's going on throughout the process. And they adapt based on what you say and who you are to their system. And that's where it's personalized. But in the midst of all of that, the fact is that only less than 1% of these go to trial and 3% go to arbitration. So the efficiency that you're seeing out of the Advocates means productivity, means communication, means expediting the process and making sure that you get the best results. Utah Advocates, 801-355-5550. That's 801-355-5550. In the mock draft or mock NBA offseason that the Dunked On Basketball podcast did, they got to Dante Exum's restricted free agency. Nate Duncan, acting as his agent, started with a request of a 2-year contract plus one, meaning he has the player option for the third, at $12 million a year. You signing Dante for that? Dan Feldman, acting as the Jazz, came back and offered five a year. If you're Dante, you're not taking that. Your qualifying offer is 4.3. They zeroed and played around with the idea of a 2+1. So 2 years guaranteed, 3 years guaranteed to the player, but an opt-out for Dante after two at $8 or $9 million. Now you're into the ballpark a little bit. They could not get that deal done. I think the sticking point on that deal was that the team felt that with his injury history, they wanted the option out on the third one, and Dante wouldn't get it. What was an interesting point that was brought up by Nate Duncan was the idea that the Jazz might end up going after a marquee free agent or a big-time free agent, at which point they renounce Dante, and he becomes an unrestricted free agent, and he viewed that as a positive for him. And so he was almost going to want to see whether the Jazz did that. And if the Jazz did that, then he got that freedom to go choose wherever he wanted to go to play next instead of being tied to just Utah. Not that he didn't like Utah in this setting, but just from an agent standpoint, that was a positive. If the Jazz were to go make some offer, they have to rescind the rights to Dante, then Dante becomes a free agent. And then felt that, fine, I'll go to restricted free agency and I'll come out with something close to this anyway. It's just an interesting, that negotiation on one level should be really simple, and on the other level might not be. And the simple part is, okay, we want you back. We understand you've been injured. But then getting into the logistics of how you figure that out, I think, is a little more complicated. Here are the 30 top free agents according to, and we just went through how little money there is, right? So LeBron James, Kevin Durant, he'll in all likelihood stay with the Warriors. Nikola Jokic has been signed with Denver. Chris Paul, I would think, stays with the Rockets, but who knows? Excuse me. Paul George. And if Paul George stays in Oklahoma City, then the market suddenly has a little bit more money. Tyreke Evans, and he's doing this by projected three-year warp, by the way. That's his system here. Is that 30 players on the market based on his projection system of how many wins over replacement level they will get you over the next 3 years. So Tyreke Evans was 6. DeMarcus Cousins, 7. Clint Capella, 8, likely to stay in Houston, I would think. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, 9. That's interesting because I don't love him. Will Barton, 10. Marcus Smart, 11. Aaron Gordon, just 12th. After averaging 18 points and 8 rebounds, he's the youngest player of the free agents. And obviously last year hit 34% of his threes instead of sub-30. Fred VanVleet is 13th. Kyle Anderson, 14th. J.J. Redick, 15th. Elfrid Payton, interestingly, is 16th. And, I mean, all he got last year was the 41st pick of the draft. 17 is little Isaiah Thomas. He's still around. 18, Trevor Ariza. 19, Zach LaVine. 20, Yogi Ferrell. 21, DeAndre Jordan. 22, Enes Kanter. 23, Rodney Hood. 24, Yusuf Nurkic. 25, Montrezl Harrell. 26, Shabazz Napier. 27, Wayne Ellington. Kind of an interesting player, really just shoots that three. Made the 6th most amount of threes last year, nearly 39%. He's not a good defensive player and doesn't do much else other than shooting, but he's interesting. Jabari Parker is 28th. Interesting to kind of see what he can and can't do. Hit 38% of his threes last year, not a good defender, has 2 ACLs. Be interesting to see. Joe Harris at 29. He's an unrestricted free agent. He had a really interesting year last year, hitting 41% of his threes. I think that might be a little bit of a hidden gem out there. Avery Bradley, got to figure out what you think he is and where his health is. He's 30. So favors on this system does not make the top 30 free agents. Dante Exum does not make the top 30 free agents. And we just start talking about how little money there is out there. It makes you wonder, like, is Dante really getting any offer of a full mid-level? Is someone going to put the full mid-level exception to Dante? Are those teams that have space that we just talked about, like the Brooklyn Nets, are the Chicago Bulls, Atlanta Hawks, Brooklyn Nets, who have $7 million, could probably make some more. Sacramento at 18. Phoenix at 14. Going to use their cap space for Dante Exum? It's hard to say. All right, I don't want to. I did not. I just left it for last. Rudy Gobert wins Defensive Player of the Year last night. It was awesome to see. He was so moved. You could tell he was emotionally touched by the moment and the journey he's been on. Dwayne Casey won Coach of the Year. Ben Simmons won Rookie of the Year. NBA puts on a big event on a dead day in June and gets the world to talk about him again after the draft. It's pretty well done. The NBA just continues to find him. But it was really cool. Congratulations to Rudy. It's well-deserved. He was phenomenal last year to do it in 55 games. His confidence of who he believes he is and what he maybe most importantly, how highly he speaks of our franchise is really, truly, truly fabulous. So congratulations to Rudy Gobert. Well-deserved. Neat to see that it matters so much to him. Really just a fabulous guy. It is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Get all your latest at LockedOnJazz.net or LockedOnSports.com. Have a great day.